This podcast replay is brought to you by EJDConstruction.com. Call Eric at EJD Construction at 305-433-4843. They do it all, residential or commercial. EJDConstruction.com is the custom home builder and general contractor you can trust. 305-433-4843. You know, Saban's comments about the Drew Brees situation and all that kind of stuff, why he left and no Drew Brees, and so without Drew Brees, I'm getting the hell out of here. And, you know, for those of you that saw that, you know what I'm talking about. And so one of the things that I also want to talk about with Saban, and listen, I don't want to harp too much on this and talk about this every day because it's freaking old news, but I do want to bring up something that at least for the moment, I would say that it's a luxury that Nick Saban gets to do what he's doing right now in this discussion. And I say that because Huizenga is no longer with us. And those are the conversations he had with Huizenga. Huizenga can't tell us if it's true or not because we really don't know. But in the end, one of the things that pisses me off most about all of this is that instead of him making excuses that he didn't get his quarterback, he didn't fight through trying to figure out how to get a quarterback and how to win. And that's kind of the process, isn't it? I mean, Pete Carroll took the job in Seattle without Russell Wilson, and then he went in 8 different directions trying to find a quarterback and finally found one and found himself a Hall of Famer. Sean Payton took the job in Seattle, I mean, in New Orleans, and he didn't have a quarterback, and then he had to sign a guy with a bum shoulder and take a chance on him, and the guy turned out to be a Hall of Famer. You know, the process is something that Bruce Arians got elevated in Indy because of the cancer to the head coach, and then all of a sudden people got to know him, but then he goes to Arizona, he didn't win anything in Arizona. And then he doesn't give up, and he goes to Tampa, and he has to deal with Jameis Winston throwing 4,000 touchdowns. What would Nick Saban do with Jameis Winston? You know what he would do? Quit. That's all I know about Nick Saban at the pro level. Quit. Did Bruce Arians quit? Did he quit after he didn't get the job in Indy? Did he quit after it didn't work out in Arizona? And then he goes to Tampa, and he didn't quit even after the terror that is, you know, coaching Jameis Winston. Because I can't imagine an offensive-minded coach watching a moron throw 30 interceptions in a season. That's got to be head-scratching, bro. And then they make the move for Brady, and he got his title. So that's the coach I want, the one that's not going to give up. I want Shula. He loses Bob Greasy, and he says, all right, well, I'll work it with Woodstock. And he gets our boys to the Super Bowl. And then he ends up with Marino, and he has a nice run with Marino. Didn't win a championship, but still had a great run with Marino. That's what I want in my coach. Situations aren't always going to be perfect, but part of being a great coach is finding another way to get it done, finding another way to find a player that you need. So Saban wants to go to the NFL, and he also wants to bring the college rules with him. He wants to be able to, you know, sign 5 first-rounders every year. Oh, no, and if I'm going to the NFL, you've got to give me a franchise quarterback. There was no guarantee that Drew Brees was going to be the guy. It worked out for New Orleans. God bless him, and God bless Drew Brees. He's a good dude. But I credit more Sean Payton than I credit Drew Brees because of his mental toughness. And is Sean Payton quitting now, or is he trying to coach Drew Brees and Taysom Hill? No, he's trying to coach those two guys and make them quarterbacks. If he can't, he'll go find a quarterback. But all this stuff, because he comes out with this article and talking about why he left Miami. Simple in fact, you don't have a quarterback. I'm out of here. Come on, dude. Okay, so you don't have a quarterback. It's your decision. You could have said, couldn't he say, I don't want Dante Culpepper? I was the guy that broke the news that year because I was on beat that him and Dante had it out. they denied it, of course, early on and all that, but it all became fact and real after that. But it's your decision, Saban. You were the GM, not Randy Mueller. Randy Mueller was just your puppet. Randy Mueller comes in with all his scouting reports for the draft, and he says, all right, here they are, coach. And you know what Saban does? He then pulls out his own. Boom. So it's like the guy did the work for nothing. You know, so Saban, you were making the decisions. You chose to have Dante Culpepper as your quarterback. You could have said, no, I don't buy Dante Culpepper. That's not the guy. Let me go find somebody else for now. We'll work on another quarterback. I'll draft one. I'll trade up for one. I'll do so. Why didn't he do that? I'm just tired. Man, instead of making excuses and instead of pointing fingers at other people, look at yourself in the mirror. Okay? You failed. You're a failure in the NFL, period. You stuck your tail between your legs and you left after 2 years. That means you punked out in my eyes. That's all that means. Doesn't mean anything else. It's pretty simple. You made the decisions. Don't tell me that you didn't get Drew Brees because then you signed Dante Culpepper. So if you were so convinced that Dante Culpepper wasn't the guy, why'd you sign him? Right? You obviously felt you could win with him, or you're not going to sign him. That's why I guess you played with Gus Frat, because you thought you could win with him. And you ended up winning 9 games with Gus Frat, which is actually a pretty damn good accomplishment. But don't give me this shit that, oh, I left because I didn't get Drew Brees. Dude, you signed Culpepper. That's your fault. You should have gone after somebody else. Shouldn't have traded a second rounder. Just ridiculous, bro. I just love these kind of guys that just want to make excuses and blame everybody else for their failures. You were in charge, bro. Everybody knows you didn't take the job without being fully in charge. That's the only way you would have taken an NFL job. Huizenga gave you all the clout you needed. Nobody made decisions for you, dude. They got you a bubble. You decided for that bubble to explode by quitting after the second year and racing off to college, because that's how your materialistic attitude and everything works. It works with kids because you can threaten them. You couldn't threaten Dante Culpepper because he would beat your ass. Okay? You're not going to threaten Zach Thomas. Zach Thomas is going to mother F you. Okay? Those are the things that happen behind the scenes. Because these players know what the hell they're doing. You obviously were not mentally suited for the NFL because you folded after 2 years. Fold after adversity. But with kids, you don't have adversity. You can dominate them. You can ridicule them. You can insult them. And then you can get rid of their asses and their scholarships and go get a new one. That doesn't happen in the NFL. You signed a contract. Now you got to coach them. And now you got to work through the character. You just didn't have the patience and you didn't have the balls to stay in the game. You weren't suited for the NFL. Tough guys are the ones suited for the NFL, like Bruce Arians. He fights cancer and he fights Winston. Okay? That's strong right there.